Today I want to take some time to talk to you about trust. Throughout the Bible, over and over again, we are exhorted and encouraged to trust in the Lord. We're warned not to put our trust in human leaders or in riches, or not to put our trust in ourselves, because all of that kind of trust is ultimately vanity and will fail us. But we're to put our trust in the Lord. Well, what does trust mean? We're going to explore that a little bit this morning. I'll tell you, first of all, this, it does not mean just carelessness or indifference, like, oh, I don't care what's happening, it doesn't really matter. Trust is not just letting things go and saying, oh, I guess everything's going to come out all right. Trust is not que sera, sera, whatever will be. That's not the trust that the Bible speaks of. Trust is not just drifting heedlessly with the tide of life. It's not neglecting or ignoring a problem. That's not trust. Trust is something that is positive. Trust is acting on our faith. You know, there are 83 times in the Old Testament in the wisdom literature, and that's Job, Psalms, and Proverbs, there are 83 times that it talks about trust. One of the ones that you might be most familiar with is Proverbs 3, 5, and 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So we're going to talk about trust. But right now I need a volunteer from the youth. I need a youth volunteer. Okay, right there. Perfect. I knew that Noah was going to volunteer for this. It's awesome. Come on up here on the platform. Okay, I want to ask you a question first. Do you trust me?
Sure.
Sure. That didn't sound real confident. Have you ever done a trust fall? Yes. You know what that is. Yes. So why don't you take your glasses off and put them? I don't want to be responsible for this. Okay. So you're going to stand up here. You're going to turn this way. You're going to put your arms like this. And then I'm going to be down here, and when I count 1, 2, 3, you're just going to fall backwards, and I'm going to catch you. Does that sound good? Wow, I'm really impressed. So I think I can catch you here. I'm pretty sure I can do this. I think I've done it a couple times, and I've only dropped 2 people. And only one of them got hurt. I mean, that wasn't too seriously, just I think a concussion, maybe. I'm going to do something here just to make sure. I got a nice pillow. Okay. And I want you to know that the shoulder that I tore up that I had surgery on a couple years ago, it's feeling basically pretty good. Maybe I'll shift the pillow this way. If my hand gives out, you know, just roll on the pillow. Okay? And I don't think you'll get a concussion like Tyler did doing the sumo wrestling the other week, and that was not really my fault, even though I should have made him wear a helmet. Do you need a helmet? Don't let me see. Okay, so are you ready for this? You still trust me? He's going to step further away. I have an idea, though, that might be better, because, you know, I'm 60 years old, and I'm a little shaky, and if I don't catch you, I don't want your mom and dad to be mad at me. Caleb, would you come up here? Now, Caleb is taller than me, and he's stronger than me, and he's younger than me. So he's going to catch you, okay? So when he counts to 3, and he doesn't need the pillow, so I feel really bad now. So I'll leave it to you guys. Okay, wait. Okay. Now that was a little easy. Now step a little step further or go down. Yeah, you're going to fall a little further backward because we want to make sure you really trust him, okay?
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
All right. Thank you. Hey, your glasses. There you go. There is a very real part of trust that involves letting go and releasing. And that's what Noah was willing to do. He wasn't quite sure how well he trusted me. Of course, I didn't sell it very well either. But he trusted Caleb, and he was willing to. And if Caleb had been back further, Noah would have even fallen further before he was caught. So when you apply that to our lives, the whole issue of trust is that no matter what is happening in your lives, when it feels like things might be falling apart, trust involves letting go of the situation that we can't control and putting our trust in God, in whom we have faith. When you trust another person, you have confidence in them, and you're willing to rely on them for whatever you need. Most of you know Damon and Jan sitting up here. Some of you who are newer to the church may not know that Jan lost her eyesight. How many years ago now? Did you fully?
It was gradual, but now there's nothing.
But what? Yeah. It was a gradual, so if sometimes Jan's out standing by herself in the middle of the lobby while Damon's catching someone to ask him something, you might not know just looking at her because she's learned to get around. But an important part of that, when she started to lose her sight more and more, she had to trust Damon. She had to trust, I know, those of you who know Damon, that's a lot of faith on No, but if you watch them down through the years, you would see how Damon would lead and guide Jan, navigate through the people that were out there in the church lobby or wherever it was, wherever they went. She had to trust Damon. And that's been a beautiful picture of trust. It really has. Now, if you were to look up in the dictionary and you saw a definition of trust, this is trust as a verb, so it's something you do, it's an action, it's to rely upon or place confidence in someone or something. It says to have confidence, to hope in someone or something, to put faith in someone or something, to believe in someone or something. If you look in the Old Testament, the words trust there, and you go into what's called a lexicon to see the original meaning of the word in Hebrew, and the idea is to believe in the reliability, the truth, the ability, the strength of someone or something. And in almost every instance in the Old Testament, it's talking about trust, putting your confidence, trusting, believing in the reliability, the truth, the ability of God. To have confidence in God, to put your hope in God, to count on God, to find your sense of security in God. And sometimes we'll use an expression, I trust you with my life. I trust you with my life. And when you say that to someone, you have confidence in their character because trust is based on the character of the one that you are trusting. And so, who better to trust than God, who is the creator of this whole universe, God who is unlimited in his power and in his wisdom? Before we get into a couple of scripture verses, I want to make clear that there are some misconceptions about trust. Trust does not mean that you just shut your eyes to the facts. There is no such thing as blind faith. We use that expression, but there's no such thing as blind faith. Trust does not mean you just shut your eyes to the facts and what's going on around you. It'd be nice if we could do that, and sometimes we try to do that. We just try to shelter ourselves from everything that's happening. Trust in God does not mean that you believe everything will go the way that you want to, and it does. Trust in God does not mean that you believe everything will go the way you want to and it ends up like that. Some people think that believing in God does entitle them to a problem-free life. The problem with that is when they have problems, and we all have problems and challenges, then that must mean that they don't have enough faith or something. It's hard to reconcile that. But the Bible contradicts the idea that if you really trust God, everything is going to go the way that you want. It contradicts the idea. Jesus, for example, says, in this world you will have trouble. And that's not terribly encouraging, but that's the reality of the world that we live in. Also, trust does not mean that God will explain everything that's going on in your life. I wish it meant that. There's lots of times that I wish God would explain some of the things that are going on in my life. But you look at Scripture and you look at the book of Job. God didn't answer Job. He basically didn't answer Job through all of this dialogue that Job had with God and with his friends. Essentially, it was bringing it down to this for Job: why me? Why did this happen to me? But God didn't give an explanation to Job. And God does not owe us an explanation when life is painful and confusing. So make sure we don't have this false understanding that if we just trust God, everything is going to go well, we'll understand everything, and life is just going to be peachy. I think that real trust, biblical trust, trust in God, looks at things as they are. It sees the dangers that threaten us. It assesses them as to whether they're real or not. It sees the need and doesn't try to disguise that need that we may have in our life. It sees the difficulties and does not discount or downplay the difficulties. But seeing all of those things that are troubling in our lives, trust looks beyond and sees God, who is our all-sufficient help. Trust sees God as greater than the needs or the dangers or the difficulties in our lives. And if there's one thing we can learn from Scripture, it's this: God is trustworthy. We may not always understand, we may not always see the answers we would like to see, but God is trustworthy. He gives us every reason to trust Him, who He is, what He has done, and what He has promised. And trusting is rooted in our faith in God. Now, in the New Testament, the word for trust and faith and believe are essentially the same Greek word. So you obviously see that the idea of trust and faith and belief are woven together. But in the Old Testament, trust was rooted in your faith in God. Because you believed in God and you believed in the trustworthiness of His character and you believed who He was and what He said and you'd seen what He did, because you had faith in God, then you would trust Him with the details of your life. And I think that's an important thing. We have faith in God, therefore we can trust Him with all the details in our lives. Trust is rooted in our faith in God, who He is, what He has done, what He has promised. And we trust God because we have faith in Him. So I don't think the two are synonymous. They're not exactly the same thing, even though they're closely related. We trust God for all these things that we face because we have faith in Him. Well, there's three scriptures that I want to look at this morning. And I encourage you to open your Bibles and follow with me. The first one is in Psalm 143. And I'm just going to read one verse, Psalm 143, verse 8. And this is what it says. It's part of a prayer of David. It says, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love." In other words, when I wake up, may the dawn of a new day remind me of God's unfailing love. "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you." Now, the context of this is really interesting. This is a Psalm of David. It was a prayer. And if you just read that verse, I mean, that's a beautiful verse. "Let morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I put my trust in you." But David starts out with a prayer. And he says, "Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief." I mean, David is struggling. He's going through a really difficult time. He says, "Don't bring your servant into judgment." He says, "My enemies pursue me. My enemy crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness." I mean, David is painting a pretty depressing picture of where he was at that moment. There were times when David was depressed, and he's expressing this. He says in verse 4, "My spirit grows faint within me, and my heart within me is dismayed." And I would venture to say, if we're honest, every one of us has had some kind of point in our life or some time or some experience where we feel that way. We feel like our spirit grows faint. We feel weak. We feel dismayed at what's happening in our life. And then David goes on and he's remembering back in the good days, back in the good old days. And that can be both bad or good. But David is saying, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on your works and consider what your hands have done. Now, you can get stuck in remembering what God has done in the past and wonder why he's not doing it today. Or you can use what God has done in the past and remember it as encouragement and motivation that you can trust him today. And a few weeks ago, if you were here, I shared a whole bunch of stories that I can remember back in a time, times when God came through, when God answered prayer. And so it's a good thing to remember, and David is doing that. He looks back to what God had done. And then in verse 6, he says, I spread out my hands to you, my soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Here is David expressing himself. He says, I got nothing inside of me, God. And he reaches out his hands to God. He says, I'm dry. My soul is thirsty. I'm longing for something. And he goes on to say in verse 7, answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. So don't kid yourself in thinking that, well, if I just trust in God, everything is going to go right in my life and I'm never going to be a problem, never have a problem. I'm always going to be happy and life is going to be la-di-da. David paints a picture that's completely different. Says, my spirit fails. Don't hide your face from me. Have you ever had a time where you prayed or you asked God for something and it just felt like he's turned his face away from you? You go through that dark night of the soul. I mean, David felt that. He says, I don't want to be like the person that's going down to the pit. How many of you ever felt like you're in the pits? You're down and you're just in that really low spot in your life. So in the context of all of that brokenness and all of that need and all of that hurt and all of that feeling isolated, David says these incredible words in verse 8 that we read. Darkness is going to be past. I mean, you can almost feel the sense of it in David. Darkness is going to be past, and let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. How, you know, now, I've gone to bed sometimes and then like thought of stupid things before I'm going to bed, and then I woke up in the morning feeling depressed and I'm thinking, that was stupid. Why did I go to bed thinking about all those things? But there have been other times where I've gone to bed with a heavy heart and it's just felt like there's a load there, and I wake up in the morning and there's some thoughts in my mind that I know that God is putting there, and all of a sudden I have a different perspective. And that's what David is giving this picture here. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. Now, here's the key to all. How can David make that kind of prayer? How can he, in the midst of all the stuff he's going through and all the problems he's facing and all the inner pain that he's dealing with, how can he say, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love? And the answer is in the latter part of this verse. For I have put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. I put my confidence. David was in turmoil, but he put his trust, his confidence in God. Now, if you turn over a few more pages to Isaiah chapter 26, and these couple of verses are printed there in your bulletin, we intentionally chose like a kid's font because, in some ways, you know, we have to be childlike in our faith and our trust, because we have a tendency to think as adults that we have it all together and we have it all figured out, and we don't. And it's not until we become like a little child in our faith that we really trust God. So that's why you see it in your bulletin, that it's all like, looks like a kid wrote it out, and it's in different colors and different letters. Isaiah chapter 26, I'm just going to read verses 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace him, and I'd say him or her, whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Now, to give you some context of this, Isaiah was writing it at a time when everything was starting to fall apart in Jerusalem and in the southern kingdom of Judah. People were turning away from God. There was a lot of oppression of the poor and the needy. There was a lot of corruption. There was a lot of violence. There was a lot of worshiping other gods and other things. I mean, Israel was going downhill. And part of Isaiah's responsibility was to call the people of Israel back to repentance and to warn them of God's coming judgment. And so part of Isaiah's whole prophecy is to warn of the judgment of what God is going to do because his people have turned away from him. Ultimately, that would mean the Babylonians would come, and they were the strongest nation in the world at that time, and they would overrun Jerusalem eventually, and they would take tens of thousands of Israelites hostage to Babylon. That's the context that Isaiah is writing these words, speaking these words. And if you were to read Isaiah 24, it's a pretty depressing picture. It's entitled The Lord's Devastation on the Earth. And it's talking about not just the judgment that Judah and Jerusalem would go through, but I think in a greater sense, it's talking about ultimately God's judgment upon this earth before he comes to make all things new and restore righteousness and justice. So if you were to read Psalm 24 in the context of this, you get a better understanding for why Isaiah says this. So just place yourself in your mind that you live in Jerusalem, a city that is falling apart. And there's corruption and there's violence. And I mean, let's just say that it's 10 times worse than inner city Chicago or New York City or Los Angeles or wherever those places are where there's, you know, a lot of violence and a lot of turmoil. You live in that kind of place and you're facing that kind of stuff every day. And here's Isaiah who says, God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. God can keep us in perfect peace when our mind is fixed on him. Other translation says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you or whose mind is fixed on you. It's really interesting that word steadfast, whose mind is steadfast, I looked it up in the Hebrew language, which the Old Testament was written in. And steadfast means to lean, to lay, to rest, to be supported. So it's kind of, you know, steadfast in my mind. I've been thinking somebody who's a rock and who's like standing firm and they're steadfast in their faith. And the picture is different. It's somebody who leans into God, who leans into Jesus. Somebody who can just lay down. The pillow's gone, so I won't do it. Somebody who can just, despite what's happening, can just lay down and rest in their trust from God. Someone who is supported because they trust in God. God's promise is that he'll keep us in peace. When our mind is laid down to God, when our mind is at rest, when our mind is fixed, when we're steadfast. But again, there's this whole clause in here. Here's the reason why God will keep us in perfect peace. Because we trust in him. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. And then this encouragement, this admonition, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. So I need to keep reminding myself over and over again, God is the Lord of this universe. He is the creator of all things. He is the rock. He is the one who is eternal. And I can lay down my concerns and my burdens, and I can give up trying to carry it all myself. I can lean into him. I can rest in him. I can be supported by him. And when I do that, when I stay steadfast and I trust in him, he gives me peace. And I need to be reminded every day, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. Now, you know, you think about the way we use the term trust in our everyday lives. You know, we might think or say, I put my trust in the government. I put my trust in our judicial system. I put my trust in Social Security. I put my trust in the stock market. I put my trust in the money I have saved up. I put my trust in the church. I put my trust in my employer. I put my trust in my family. I put my trust in my friends. And in a lesser sense, we do that. I trust Jenny explicitly. I trust my kids. I trust my extended family. I don't know about Social Security. I don't know about the stock market. I don't have enough money to put my trust in it, so that's not an issue. I mean, I want to trust the people in our church and the leaders of our church. I want to trust my friends. So we do that in a lesser sense, but here's the thing. None of those things that we tend to put our trust in, none of those things are ultimate. All of them may fail you or me, and all of them may break your trust. So many stories of people, husbands and wives, who committed themselves to each other, and somewhere along the way, trust was broken, and a relationship was shattered, and pain that came. So I think there should be a sense where we trust our friends, and we trust our spouse, and we trust our family members, and we trust our church, and we should be able to trust our government leaders. But the fact of the matter is, none of those things are ultimate. We may trust them in a general sense, but we have to put our trust explicitly in God. Because all of those things that we trust in a very natural human sense, all of them may fail. All of them may end up breaking your trust. So we're told in the Bible to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And that is a hard thing for me to do, because I want to have everything figured out, and sometimes I think I have everything figured out, and then it, you know, everything doesn't turn out the way I figured it would turn out. And so the writer of Proverbs, I mean, this is great wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your being. Put your trust in the Lord, your confidence in Him, your hope in Him. Don't lean on your own understanding. And that's the tendency we have, to lean on our own understanding and to try to figure out what the next steps are that we should take without putting our trust in God. And God will direct our paths when we trust Him. Getting back to the little free fall exercise that we did, and the Hebrew word for trust, when all of the things about having confidence and hope in someone, there's a word picture. The Hebrew language and ancient languages, often the word had a picture to it. It meant more than just one word. When we have a word, there's now maybe there's things associated with it, but we have individual words and we string them together to form a sentence. It wasn't necessarily that way in the Hebrew language. And the word that we translate into English, trust, the Hebrew word for it, the literal meaning of it is to throw yourself down on the ground at someone's feet. The meaning of the word trust in the Hebrew language that's used in the Old Testament is to throw yourself down on the ground at someone's feet. It's like saying, here I am, I'm at your mercy. And to me, that's a great picture of trust in God. If I really trust God and trust my life into His hands, then I ought to be willing to throw myself down on the ground with all of my thoughts and all of my abilities and all the ways I think that I can figure everything out. I need to be willing to let go of all of that, fall down on the ground at His feet and say, here I am, God, I'm at your mercy. In the very beginning, human beings were created in God's image and were made for a relationship that was based on trust. And that trust involved obedience to one command that God had given them. And they fell. They disobeyed that command. They broke trust with God, their creator. And because of our self-centered, rebellious, sinful natures, we are both distrustful to God, or distrustful of God, when he's the very one we should trust. And often we're distrustful of others, but we're prone to trust ourselves. That's the fallen human nature. We're naturally, apart from God's grace and the work of his Spirit in us, we are distrustful of God and others, and we are prone to trust ourselves. So it is only by God's grace, through faith, that our trust in God is restored, and his Spirit in us empowers us to trust God. We trust God in the everyday details of life because we have faith in him. And we trust Christ because of what he's done for us. And we trust the Holy Spirit because he's the one that brings faith and hope and peace into our lives. There's one last verse that I want us to look at. It's a wonderful promise. It's found in Romans chapter 15. And it's verse 13. This is kind of like a what you might call a benediction. You would use it as a closing prayer or a blessing that you would say over someone. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Here's the conditional clause. As you trust in him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can trust God in the everyday details of life because we have faith in him. We can trust God that we belong to him because of what Jesus has done for us. We can trust God because the Holy Spirit brings us or brings our faith to life. So what a great promise. What a great prayer that we could pray for our families and for ourselves. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you come right down to it, and this is a tough one to wrestle with, there is no fear in complete trust. The two are opposites. There is no worry in trust. When we worry about anything, we have not truly committed it to God. There is no grumbling and complaining about things when we really trust. In trust, there is no feeling of bitterness when things don't go the way that we think they should go. In trust, there is peace and calm and assurance because we believe that God is in control and he is working in everything for our ultimate good, even if we don't see it that way. I'm going to wrap things up now and then give us a few moments to reflect and to pray together. And I want to say this next sentence a couple of times because I think it's important. Trusting God means that no matter what happens, you will turn to him instead of away from him. A lot of people turn away from God when things get difficult. Trusting God means that no matter what happens, you will turn to him instead of away from him. Even if other people laugh at you and mock your face, you trust God. Even if in your darker moments you sometimes feel like God is distant, you still trust him. Even when you cannot feel it and you don't feel his presence, and his peace is absent from your mind, trust him. Even if life hurts really bad and nothing that you ask God for is working out the way that you had hoped it would, still trust him. Even when your prayers don't seem to be answered or heard and you're still waiting for God to do something, still trust him. Let go. And that's what Noah had to do. I mean, really, I don't know if I would have done it. Stand there and just free fall backwards, trusting. We have to let go. We have to put our whole trust in God. We have to release all of those things that cause us anxiety, that bring stress, that bring fear. we release them to God, we let go, and we put our whole trust in God. And then we let him catch us. We let him catch us. When we're falling, or when things seem to be falling apart, we let him catch us. We trust in him. We're willing to just lay down and give it all up for him. Would you bow your heads with me? And just as the music plays softly, can use these couple of minutes to just pray and think, and whatever you need to release to God and give to him, you can do that this morning, whether that's where you're seated or whether you want to come to the altars to pray. Let's talk to God. Put your whole trust in him. Let go of whatever it is that's causing fear and stress and anxiety. Let him hold you. Let him catch you when you fall. As we close our time together and our time of prayer, let me read this prayer to you that I came across, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you as it is to me. Lord God, you are our rock and our refuge. Why do we need to be afraid for the future? It is all in your hands. Help us to trust you and to believe that you will do what is best. Help us to commit the days of our lives to you, trusting you to work for our good and your glory. Lord God, you alone are our security, our strength, and our hope. We trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go in the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus.